All right, good afternoon, everyone. It's 1 o'clock. We're going to go ahead and get started with the afternoon session of the May 5th for Cinco de Mayo of FY17 budget hearings. All right, so this afternoon we are going to hear first from the Atlanta Citizens Review Board, and it's going to be followed by the four unions. With that, I don't see any new council members here, so let's go ahead and get started. So, Mr. Reed, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you introduce your team and do your presentation.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon. My name is Samuel Lee Reed II. I'm the Executive Director of the Atlanta Citizen Review Board.
With me today, sorry, before you proceed, colleagues, we're on page 401 of the budget book. Thank you. Sorry.
Okay. With me today, I have Ms. Maola Smith, who is the project manager, and Ms. Sheena Robertson, who is the investigations manager. They will be assisting me today during the presentation. Before I get started with the budget presentation, I'd like to thank the Atlanta City Council and give special thanks to Councilmember Ivory Young for giving the ATRB more tools to improve the relationships between citizens and officers with the passage of the new ATRB legislation, which supports the ATRB mission to provide civilian oversight of law enforcement. I'd also like to thank the administration for the proposed FY17 budget. As Councilmember Wan stated, on pages 404 and 405 in the budget book, the new budget represents a slight increase from fiscal year 16. The amount of the increase is $26,508, which includes $16,999 that's related to the new ordinance changes for board member expense stipends for attending training and board meetings. The amount will also cover pay for training facilitators and to pay officers who are subpoenaed to appear outside of their working hours. As you can see from the budget, the personnel costs remain flat. However, outreach expenditures will increase due to the need to inform the public of new services provided under the new ordinance. In the fiscal year 16 budget, we focused heavily on outreach. Over the past year, we participated in 174 citizen-focused activities. This will need to continue under the new budget because we know the outreach is critical to citizens' understanding that the city leaders are committed to hearing and addressing citizens' concerns about law enforcement in a responsible and meaningful manner. The fiscal year 17 budget, combined with the ordinance changes, will place the ACRB in a better position to assist with noticeable changes in citizen-police relationships. With your passage of the new budget, the ACRB will continue to meet the needs of citizens and officers, having a better trained board, increased transparency and accountability, and continuing with our outreach efforts. And I will take questions at this time.
All right, I'll open up to questions. First one is from Ms. Adrian.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I wanted to make sure we were being consistent as a city on stipends for board members.
Yes.
How much do you pay for a board member to attend a board meeting?
Before the passage of the legislation, we were not paying board members. We introduced We introduced a proposal for $25 per board meeting. During the process, it was increased to $50 per meeting.
So we've already legislated this?
City Council did that.
Yes.
We did that last year.
No, that was in March. March 30th, that's when it actually passed.
Yeah, I just don't remember that. And I do know that the audit, is it, audit committee members are paid a stipend as well. And then, Ms. Carr, do you know if, let's see, we have audit, what was the other committee I was asking?
So ethics has a board, audit, and pension. Right.
Board members get a stipend?
I'm going to verify that for you, but I did receive an email from audit. They do receive a stipend of $100 per meeting up until $1,000, but I can verify ethics.
No, if you're on the review board for watershed, you get a stipend. And so what did you say about the other board? Was it ethics? No, pension.
Pension, that is correct. I do not believe they receive payment.
I was just looking at that, caught my eye. I just wanted to make sure we were being consistent with
yes.
our volunteer board members
yes.
across the city. How often do y'all meet?
Once a month.
Okay.
It's the second Thursday of every month at 6:30.
All right. Thank you. And, yes. and wait, how many people are on your board?
There were 11 with the new legislation, and there 13.
An active board.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Mr. Shuck.
Well, thank you for all you do. Are all your positions filled? Or do you have vacancies?
The staff positions?
Yeah.
Yes. We just hired our last person today. No, she started today.
She started.
Yeah.
As your, you have board meetings once a month. Do you ever have any quorum problems?
We had a problem in February, I think, and then we had a problem last year with making sure that we had board members there. That was one of the reasons why we
expanded the board.
The interest, weather related, yeah. And that one last year was weather related, but that's why we expanded the board.
Tell me real quickly about your metric line here where you show chief's discipline on sustained complaints. It's looks really variable.
Yes.
89. So in 2016, would I be correct in saying that 89% of the time the chief did not uphold your findings?
That would be correct, but I will add to that by saying a large number of those investigations, they had not completed. When we sent them over, they had not completed their complaints. I mean, their investigations, so they weren't able to forward it to us. That 11% that you see was one of the motivating factors for us to ask to have in the ordinance greater detail as to why they did not agree to some of our sustained complaints.
Hence your target for
yes, our target
the coming year.
Is 75% because we believe that the work that we do is a quality, and if it's taken seriously, there should be no issues with it.
Well, if your percentage of times that you're upheld is held down because you measure, because you include in your measurement the cases that haven't been resolved yet, wouldn't you be better off only showing us the ones where it's apples to apples and we can see that whether you the sustained or not sustained rather than the ones where we just don't know because the decision hasn't been made yet?
Under the ordinance, the way that it reads is that the chief has to respond within 30 days on the complaint. That's his letter. So that's the one we have to go with at that time because there can be many, many months before we get a response. In order to keep everything consistent, we need to respond. We need to capture what we have. We also keep separate data on, what decisions were made on sustained complaints, where it's been completed, and that number is really, really low. Yes.
Well, okay, but you know, you have to go by what the ordinance, you know, tells
Correct.
You in terms of your daily operations. But you're in charge of framing these figures for us in the manner of your choosing.
Right.
And just it would be instructive for me to see the real number of cases that were upheld or not upheld. I think it's I think you're doing yourself a disservice by including the open cases, because it suggests to a reader who might not have asked, heard you answer my question,
right.
that your rate's not nearly as good as it probably is.
Right.
Do you see my point?
No, I see your point,
okay.
And it's explained in our reports, but I can definitely provide an updated stat to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions before I ask my series? Okay, I wanted to go back. I'm going to follow on Mr. Sook's questioning about some of the metrics.
Mm-hmm.
In the description, the write-up that you provided in the budget book, you list under FY16 accomplishments. First bullet is increased service to citizens by 28% with regard to filed complaints. So is that simply a measure of you've received 28 more complaints this year than last year?
Correct.
Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about kind of process and processing is probably mm-hmm. the better word. And the reason why I bring that up is that, you know, if you'll recall, we had a really in-depth conversation last year because we increased your budget by 30% from the year before.
Right.
And we started talking about, you know, metrics and what we wanted to see. So as I look at this table, what jumps out at me, though, is that the average number of investigated days went up significantly. It went from 138 to 184. And I would have expected actually a different result based on, you know, the resources that you asked for. Can you talk me through that one a little bit? And then I'm going to follow on with another question.
As far as the days going up, we unfortunately don't have control over that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the type of complaint that we receive, there's going to be an impact on those investigations. If it's one where we're waiting for Fulton County to process the case, which can drag on for a couple of years, we're not going to be able to complete that investigation. If it's a complex excessive force complaint investigation, we're not going to just be able to run through it as we would an abusive language type of case.
Okay.
Last year, what we saw was we had a number of those longer investigations drag on our time.
Okay, so because that's quite frankly when we hear on our side it complaints about or frustration, it's more I filed something and it's taking a long time for me to hear anything back or get any sort of decision on it. And so, you know, when I'm sitting up here thinking about how I want to resource y'all, that's my priority, is how do we staff you in the right way to make sure that you have the adequate resources, you know, external agencies notwithstanding, to be able to get to faster and still accurate responses. So when I see then a projected target to go from 184 to 120, yet we're keeping kind of the same staffing levels or resource levels, walk me through a little bit why you think that's gonna change, given what I see to be the similar set of circumstances.
Right. A part of that is gonna be cases that would be able to go to mediation, that would be able to resolve quicker. And then another part of that is going to be...
And is that external mediation or internal?
That would be external, yes.
External, okay.
Yes. I mean, we'll process the paperwork.
Gotcha.
But it'll be a third-party mutual that would come in.
And is that something we pay for, or is that something that...
That's something we pay for.
Okay. And that's covered under purchased contract services?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I didn't interrupt you.
Sheena, Did you want to say something?
And now with the new ordinance change, we also have more categories.
Okay.
That we can now look into allegations. Instead of before, we just had false arrest. And if that complaint only was able to fall within that category,
okay.
It had to stay in that category.
And with the new category schedule, do you anticipate, I mean, some are going to be, as you've suggested, faster than others, I would imagine, and some are going to be less dependent on external agencies in order for us to be able to process quickly. So... kind of the combination of maintaining the ship but having that flexibility, you think is going to be able to bring that number down?
Yeah. Our goal is to always try to process complaints as quickly as possible, because at the end of the day, the citizen wants the correct answer, or the correct answer as quickly.
Yeah. And it kind of goes to my next number that I look at, and that's, I mean, the other number that jumps out significantly is FY15 community engagement activities to FY16. And you and I, we had a very long conversation about prioritization of activities and functions. You know, I understand the need to get out and have people aware of what the Citizen Review Board does, your functions, what the purpose is, and so that you can get these incidents or cases, but at the same time, I'm just going to express again, you know, I think from my side, the inquiries that I get are more focused on processing cases, because there's no point in getting 300 cases in if they're just going to sit and the processing time gets longer and longer. I'd rather get fewer cases, process them quickly and accurately. But again, I appreciate the fact that you're looking at 17, you're going to bring that number down and focus and target that a little bit more. So I see that, you know, I think we're starting to kind of align a little bit in what we're trying to accomplish here. I mean, your budget, quite frankly, is pretty straightforward and pretty flat, so I don't know that I have any specific questions about any of the line items myself. Ms. Adrian. Yeah, that was really kind of, I wanted to understand the metrics a little bit better.
Right, so I'm back on the metrics on page 403 as well. So of the 158 cases, new cases that you got in 16, 124 of them were dismissed, right? And so that leaves 30-some that were closed.
Not necessarily, right?
Because there's my follow-up question is, can you give us a sense for the age of your open? How many cases do you have open?
We have approximately.
Give me a favor and pull the mic up so you lose there.
I'm thinking you have about 100 open.
Well, we have a lot of them also in suspended status, because a lot of them are false arrest complaints, and we have to wait for the disposition of their criminal case in order to and start the investigation. So we have about maybe about 40 or so in active status.
How many in inactive?
Inactive, the suspensions, it's about 30-something cases.
30-something?
Yeah.
And so what is the average on your active open cases, the 30, you said 30-something?
Mm-hmm.
How old are those on average?
They're less than 180 days.
Yeah. So
our goal is to get them completed within that time period.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And on the ones that are dismissed, I mean, is that is there a lot of effort?
Yes.
That's required to go through all the data before you can learn?
Yes.
They're not just.
Well, 30% of them are dismissed outright because they don't involve corrections, Atlanta Corrections or police. Mm-hmm. But then about 30%, we do have to do a preliminary investigation to actually get to that decision that whether or not it's actually dismissed. And it does require a great deal of work, because when the citizen complains, they tell us it's Atlanta police. But then after we start the investigation, we find out that it didn't involve them.
I gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Ms. Adrian, Ms. Carr actually has a response for your question about stipends for the other boards.
So for the Department of Ethics, they do not receive a stipend for their board members.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yeah. Thank you for your presentation.
You. Any other questions for Mr. Reed and his staff? Again, I think I just want to underscore, we do appreciate the importance of the functions that you do. We appreciate that now you're kind of full throttle, you'll be able to get out and with the changes be able to more effectively serve our constituents who are concerned with the service they're getting from APD. But you're in a tough spot, and we appreciate the work you do. So be sure to continue coming to us if there are other tools that you need to do your job. So
thank you.
Thank you. All right, colleagues, that gives us an unexpected break until 2 p.m., and that's when AFSCME will be here, followed at 2:30 by PACE, 3 o'clock Fire Union, and 3:30 Police Union. So we're on break.